Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You know, some of us came from good families, and that is fine and good. Others of us came from less than ideal circumstances. Just as you can't judge a book by its cover, so also you can't judge a judge in the Old Testament by his parents. So we learn from reading God's Word. Case in point, Jephthah, the judge, from the book of Judges. He was a Gileadite, and his father, in fact, was Gilead. No problem there. But his mom, she was a prostitute. Problem. Society frowned upon Jephthah because of his mother. He had to go live on the poor side of town and associate with those of ill repute. Modern literature, 1850, has its own rendition called The Scarlet Letter, where a woman named Hester has to wear a big A on her dress as a sign of public shame. She refused to name the father of her child, but apparently everyone knew the name of Jephthah's mom and his dad, and they knew where he came from. In the words of the Boston-based sitcom of the 1980s, sometimes you want to go where everyone knows your name, but sometimes you don't. Society's frown can really bring you down and keep you there a long while. But when society needs you, then it seems they forget all about your past and ask you to do for them mighty things to save them. Such was the case for Jephthah. Israel was again oppressed by their enemies, this time the Ammonites, because of their repeat idolatry, their turn back to the false gods of the surrounding regions. After the last judge that we left last time, after they had peace for a long time, again they fell back to their gods, and God so let them be plundered by the Ammonites. When they called out to God, this time God said, why don't you just go cry out to those gods in which you followed, rather than cry out to me? Because you don't seem to be able to stick it through thick and thin with me. So why don't you just go back to your gods? A little different message than usual from the other judges we've heard so far. The people, however, desperately needed a deliverer, a judge, to save them and to lead them. They told Jephthah, come and be our leader, fight for us. And Jephthah said, I see. Now you need me. You see, Jephthah had a double reputation. Yes, his mother was born, or he was born of a prostitute. But later, I suppose perhaps because of where he lived, in the poor side of town, he became a mighty warrior. Was able to fight. Strong. A mighty fine man. A mighty warrior. Being he was in the negotiating seat, he told Israel's leaders, if I come and fight for you, and if I lead you to victory, then you must name me your head. In other words, the next judge. And they agreed. Though it doesn't say in the Bible that God had a hand in picking this judge, Jephthah, Jephthah was found to speak all his words before the Lord. When he went into battle against the Ammonites, it does say that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he did win in battle, mightily. But the victory was overshadowed by a foolish vow that Jephthah made. Jephthah told the Lord, if you help me and if you make me victorious in the battle against the Ammonites, then I will sacrifice for you anything that comes through my front door when I go home. The first thing that comes to the door, that's what I'll sacrifice. And lo and behold, he won in battle, and he went home, and guess what comes through his front door? His daughter, his only child. Uh-oh. Wanting to be faithful to this vow and to his own words, his integrity, Jephthah explained his vow to his daughter. She heard, she understood, she cried. She negotiated for 2 months of a delay, whereby she could go up into the mountains and weep with her friends for her virginity, for she knew not a man, she had no husband, and she didn't have any children. Then she returned, and Jephthah did according to the thing he said he would do, according to his vow. We perhaps are left with more questions than answers. But we can, from God's word, give a little judgment upon this whole event, can't we? We can derive from God's word that this was a foolish, unnecessary vow, a tragedy, as it often says in the Bible when you read this section. Jesus later said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from evil." And the Apostle James then said, "Do not swear by heaven or by the earth or by anything else so that you will not fall into sin and under judgment." Jephthah should have learned a lesson from Abraham. Remember Abraham and Isaac? When it came time to provide that sacrifice that God told him to do, not Abraham didn't come up with this one on his own, God told him, sacrifice your son, your only son. But when it came time to offer the sacrifice, God said, wait, no. I will provide the ram. I will provide the lamb. Don't sacrifice your child. Something else is coming. Something far greater than you sacrificing your child. I, the Lord, will fulfill the covenant that I myself made with you by my death, my son's death, not yours. The only vows worth keeping are those vows that the Lord makes with us, not the ones we make foolishly to manipulate God and to make God do something extraordinary that he simply would have done by faith and not by works and not by vows. First fruits, offerings to God, good. First child offerings as a sacrifice to God, bad. Besides, we cannot appease God by the death of anything. God prefers a broken and a contrite heart and a believing mind and a mouth to confess the holy things of God, the things that God does to deliver us, to make us have peace and victory over our enemies, the things God does, not what we do, to save us and give us eternal life. Jephthah's vow can't compare to Jesus' very body and blood, the victory of his cross and his open tomb. His blood shed for me and for you. Yet God did not forsake Jephthah. And he's even listed in the book of Hebrews amongst the long list of heroes of the faith in the Old Testament who by faith were victorious. May God ever do the same for us. Despite our foolish vows that we may make with God, he not only corrects us in his word and teaches us the right way, but he also forgives and he makes right in his blood, so that we can stand with all the apostles and the saints and the martyrs and sing his praise, no matter where you've come from. Maybe like Jephthah from the wrong side of town. Or from wherever you'll go. If you live by faith, you live the way God wants you to live. Heaven is a place where everybody knows your name. Through our faith alone, in Jesus' sacrifice alone, God put your name in the book of life. Pay your vows to the Lord now by believing. Believe that He gave His only Son so that you don't have to. Amen. And now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.